Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter. Today we continue our journey through Sefer Tehillim. We are up to chapter 91, Perek Tzadi Aleph. So yesterday's beautiful chapter, How to Live a Meaningful Life, Teshuvah, the special and beautiful message to Uvein, and change is possible, and life is meant to connect and be meaningful. Our chapter today, according to Chazal, also one of the 11 chapters composed by Moshe Rabbeinu the day he left our world, corresponding to the blessings in Parshas Vizos HaBracha, this one is specific to Levi, the lucky tribe who live their lives in the shelter of Hashem. Which brings us to the first verse, Yoshev b'siser elyon b'tzel Shaddai Yislonan. O you who dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide in the shadow of Shakai. At the very beginning of COVID, back in March of 2000, many were saying this chapter, and so I began to research it and found that it is called Shir HaNegaim, the Song of Plague, or Shir Pegaim, the Song to Ward Off Evil, in the Talmud, as the Gemara Shavuos, Daf Tesva 15, tells us. And that this was already the chapter traditionally said in times of plague, dating back to Talmudic times. So that was exciting. I was teaching it to a group of student alumni of the high school I teach. I don't think we had even figured out Zoom yet, and we were certainly not doing it in person. So it was an old-fashioned phone class, but they so badly wanted to connect and learn together. Remember those days? So here I am teaching this chapter 91, and I found in it a beautiful chapter of hope, of love, words of protection against plague, against pandemic. As in verse 5, Lo sira mi pachad laila mecheta uf yomam. You need not fear the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. And verse 6, Mi dever ba'ofel yahaloch miketev yeshut saharayim. The plague that stalks in the darkness or the scourge that ravages at noon. And verse 7, Yipol mitzitcha elef urevava miminacha elecha lo yigash. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, it shall not reach you. Even if others fall, it will not approach your tent. And then one student asked me a question. But what if it does? What if the plague does hit your tent, your home, your family? I only found out after that her entire family had come down with COVID. And soon after that, her father was in the ICU. And then the numbers of the dead started to rise all over the place. And then it hit my own family. And words like ICU, ventilator, lung specialist became part of our daily lives. What if indeed? So let us understand better. What is the meaning of this chapter? Back to the beginning. Yoshev b'siser elyon. Who is the subject of these words? Rashi tells us that Moshe is talking to us, believers in Hashem, and telling us, you who trust in Hashem, who have said about Hashem, Machsi umetzudasi Elokai eftach bo, he is my protection, he is my fortress, my God, I will trust in him. You have done good. You have done well. You will be protected. I can tell you, Moshe says, because I know. I was in the heavens for 120 days. I saw what you can only know through faith. I saw that Hashem is truly the only, the one power, and the one who loves you. So you who sit in the shade of Hashem, you are lucky. You Jewish people and believers, you are the Yoshev. Metzudas David explains the verse differently. Yoshev refers to those who sit and struggle and delve into the Sisrei Elyon, the secrets of God, who Yislonein, who consistently and constantly struggle with the secrets of Torah, who often don't understand, but keep on trying. You? Hashem will protect you. When we are studying Torah and we are stuck, when we get to a point where we struggle, when it's hidden from us, and we keep on struggling. There is another explanation brought down by the Medrash, that Hashem is the subject of this pasuk. He is the Yoshev. This chapter, actually a continuation of the conversation that we referenced yesterday. After Moshe blesses the Jewish people, and they respond with the words, V'yinoam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, let God's pleasure be upon us. Moshe continues with our chapter, Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. So these words were actually spoken by Moshe on the day that the Mishkan, the tabernacle, began to function. And it references that confusion, bewilderment, and awe that Moshe experienced when Hashem told him to build a Mishkan. The entire heavens can't contain God. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. You are God who sits in secret. Will you truly come down to us, to our little house? B'tzel Shakai Yislonan. Will you dwell in the Tzel Kel, the home that our B'tzalel has built for you? Can we really construct a home for Hashem? And the Medrash continues and tells us that this chapter, this verse, refers to the idea that Hashem is the Ro'eh Ve'eino Nir'eh. He is one who sees and is not seen. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. God sits in secret. While Hashem sees the entire world, we don't see Hashem. Two concepts emerge from these explanations that we often struggle with in our daily life. One, we are not Moshe. We didn't have the vision, the experience that he speaks of. We struggle with the ro'eh ve'eino nir'eh. We don't see Hashem and sometimes feel far from his protection. Pandemic hits us as well. In fact, the word Shakai references this idea as well. Back in Shemos, Hashem told Moshe, Va'ira el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov bekel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. In chapter 6, verse 3, God tells Moshe, I only revealed the name Shakai to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I appeared to them with that name, but my name, God, Hashem, I did not let known to them. I promised so much to them, but didn't yet fulfill any of the promises. Jewish nation at this point in history, languishing in Egypt as slaves, lives this idea of yet unrequited promises. Beautiful hopes and dreams given to their forefathers appear to them in cruel contrast to their present awful reality. And so the word Shakai becomes synonymous with believing in the perfection of God, in the power of God, in a very imperfect world. Sha'amar la'olamo dai, the word means, God said that this world is dai. He stopped it when it was enough. What is enough? When my children want more ice cream, I will say to them, you have enough, but they still want more. What is enough? Is enough perfect? Our children can have enough toys and still want more. Our teenagers can have enough clothing and certainly still want a lot more. We can have enough vacation and still want more. We can have enough money and still want more. What is enough? Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. We struggle sometimes. We know we are living in the protection of Hashem, and yet it is Tzel Shakai. We want more. We wish we would see him more, understand him more, and struggle with secrets and stirot, contradictions, much less. Always in Olam Hazeh, in this world. So that, I believe, is the first concern. And second, B'tzel Shakai Yislonan. We wonder, like Moshe, can we build a house for God? Do we matter? Do our little deeds count? What is our effort worth anyways? Let's leave these questions for a few moments and move on to the verses later on in this chapter. Moshe Rabbeinu is encouraging the one who places his trust in God. You have chosen well. Lo sirah mipachad laila. You will not fear the fear of night or the arrows of the day. You don't need to be afraid of anything. Not military danger, not disease, not dangers you are aware of or hidden ones. As in verse 11, Ki malachav yitzaveh lach l'shmorcha b'chol drachacha. God will command his angels to guard you in all your ways. They will carry you al kapayim, on wings, pentigof fevner glecha, in verse 12, lest you stumble on rocks. So, you will literally be living on the clouds. You don't need to worry about any danger. You will be above it. But then comes more. In verse 13, al shachal vafesen tidroch termos kefir v'sanin. You will tread on lions, on snakes, you will trample them. The Malbim, 18th century Russia and Romania, notes that verse 13 is very different from verse 11 and 12. Those previous verses promise that by trusting in God, He will put us in the hands of angels and we will not see any danger lifted off the ground. But verse 13, we are very much grounded. We are experiencing danger. The snakes are there. The lions are there. But we will trample them. One of the opinions that the Medrash brings down is that this chapter is all about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, who was the first of our ancestors to go into exile, to live the life of a Jew and build a Jewish family far from home. Yaakov, who faced Esav, who lived with Laban, who fought with an angel and who survived and succeeded in all of these challenges. Yaakov is the Yoshev, the Seser Elyon. There is a fascinating Or HaChaim, 17th century, Morocco, where he asks a great question. At the end of Parshas Vayetze, when God told Yaakov to leave, Yaakov was escaping from Laban. He was traveling with his entire family, children, possessions. All of us who have taken trips with families and young children certainly understand how it is that Laban quickly caught up with him. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, what happened to Kfitas HaDerech when Hashem miraculously shortens our journey? We know that the Jewish nation has experienced this in our history. Hashem gave Eliezer, Yaakov's grandfather's servant, this miracle. Even Yaakov himself experienced it on his way to Laban. Why couldn't Hashem quicken the journey miraculously for Yaakov now? He was so afraid of meeting Laban. Why couldn't God just get him back to Israel quickly enough? If this is not a time for Kfitas HaDerech, what is? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains, the reason is because God actually wanted Laban to catch up. God knew that Yaakov was afraid of this danger, and he wanted Yaakov to experience, to feel Laban reaching him, and then to witness Laban powerless to hurt him. If Hashem would have allowed Yaakov to avoid danger completely, he never would have felt the joy of the protection of Hashem. We sometimes need the danger, we need the difficulties in order to feel the closeness of God, the salvation of God. This is how some of the commentaries explain the fight with an angel. Just a few psukim later, God wanted Yaakov to face an angel, fight with an angel and win. This would prove to Yaakov, make him experience his own power and strength and the strength that God empowers us with. And this, the Malbim explains, is the answer right here. Ki malachavi tava lach l'shmarcha b'chol derechecha in verse 11. Sometimes God lifts us off the ground, protects us by removing us from any danger. But sometimes God allows us to trample the lions and snakes, to feel them, to experience them, and to survive. And through this experience, learn that we can survive, that we can achieve, that we can be resilient. And it is actually at these times that we experience God's closeness the most. In fact, although in this chapter, the speaker is Moshe, towards the end of the chapter, verse 14, Hashem himself speaks and says, Kivi chashak ba'afaltehu asagvehu ki adashimi. Since this person desires me, is close to me, and knows my name, I will save him and raise him. I will be with him in trouble. I will strengthen him and give him glory. It is in those moments of difficulty, God says, that I will be with you the most. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to us and tells us, it's hard. From your vantage point, I know it's hard. I get it. You're struggling. You struggle with the secrets of Torah, says Mesudas David, and you don't understand. You struggle sometimes with the Shakai, that is Olam Hazeh, and you don't understand. But from where I stand, I want you to know, Moshe says, you are sitting beside Seser Elyon. Let me share my experience with you. I was in the heavens. I saw what no human saw. God is watching you. And let me tell you something else. Your struggle is meaningful. Your building is meaningful. Even though it's far from perfect, even though it's so tiny in comparison with the greatness of Hashem, He will come to live in your home and He will be close to you. And in your struggle, He is even closer. And God's closeness does not mean you won't see lions and you will not see snakes. You'll see them and they may be scary and you will learn that you can vanquish them. And so, what we have learned, and what I would tell my student now about the pandemic, about life, what I tell myself, is that this parak is not to ward off challenges and difficulties. It teaches us how to approach them with strength, with love, with courage. And what a gift of empowerment it is for us to feel Yoshev B'Seser Elyon through it all. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim Lev.